There's now an offer to the parents with the children. Would you like to stay in? We're having a presentation of some pictures from Sierra Leone. If you think that's going to be a bit busy or not work too well, then you're very welcome to go out now. Otherwise, you can stay for the presentation. Your choice, your call. Everyone's staying. Good. Dinny, do you want to come forward and lead us in the presentation that you've got to share with us?
Good morning, everyone. First of all, I want to thank you all for contributing towards help for the victims of the avalanche. There were about 1,000 people who died in one landslide, and I really appreciate the contribution you made. It was very short notice. I think it was like 3 days, and we were able to send some clothes. Now, I'm just going to give you the background of my connection with the people who are doing the outreach out there. Slide one. Oh, it's up there. I'll just read this out to you. It says Mercy Outreach Ministries International, aka Mummy, aka Mercy House, is a charity registered in Sierra Leone under the Ministry of Social Welfare, Gender and Children's Affairs. It's an indigenous voluntary organisation. In Sierra Leone, there are hundreds of foreign NGOs, but this is homegrown. Their mission statement is to bring a message of hope to the rejected, the downtrodden and the hurting, and in doing so, showing the fullness of God's love to humanity through his word. So it's a Christian-based organization. In December 1993, God planted in a senior pastor's heart, his name was David Opene, a father's heart, a mission to go and demonstrate practical dimensions of Christian love to the hurting, rejected, and downtrodden of this world. It was a ministry to care, give hope, and restore dignity to the abused. Out of that, soon after he started the ministry, there was a need for a church, and a fledgling Pentecostal church emerged and had its first service on the 4th of January 2009 with 13 people in attendance. Right, slide two, please. Right, you might wonder what this has got to do with it. Well, at the time, what had happened, there'd been a civil war in Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone's a tiny little country on the west coast of sub-Saharan Africa. And the war went on for quite a while. At the time that Pastor David Opene got his mission, he was in Zambia, and he started the work amongst the orphans and the widows in Zambia. His mother, he's actually half Sierra Leonean and half Nigerian, his mother died was buried in Sierra Leone, and at that point he went back to Sierra Leone, and he saw the devastation and the hopelessness of everything and the state of the people, and he was moved to, in fact, he was actually released from Zambia and moved to start a work in Sierra Leone. After the war, sometime after the war, I think it was 2004, I also went to Sierra Leone and saw the devastation. I visited some of the disabled people who had been made disabled through the war deliberately, and I felt I wanted to do something to help them, and came back, prayed about it, and started sending out funds to them. But it didn't work. I realized that the funds were not moving. They weren't getting anywhere. They were landing in someone's account, and that was it. And so I looked again, prayed again, and came across a mission to provide mosquito nets to every child in Africa and definitely every child in Sierra Leone. And I thought, oh, this is great. I'll do that. And so I contacted friends and family and told them about this project, and they said, oh yes, we'll contribute. So we got a good lump sum together, and I tried to deliver it, and it was undeliverable because the project had closed. They had enough nets, they had enough money, and they were on their way. And it was, I think the headquarters was in Maryland in America, and I had a cousin who lived near, it was a Methodist headquarters there. And I asked her, please go and find out what's happening because we've got all this money and nobody wants it. And she went and they didn't want the money. So back on my knees, what's next? Started praying, and I really felt that this was a bottomless pit, having seen what I'd seen. And didn't know where to start. I really needed some direction from the Lord. But at the same time, felt that there wasn't really anything that my contribution could do to make any improvement. And the Lord gave me this picture. It wasn't actually a bowl of marbles. It was a face that I'd drawn as a child, but using this method. And I'd cut the face from a newspaper, and by very, very carefully colouring and shading in the grids, the face was replicated. So I wasn't actually doing a whole drawing. I was just meticulously colouring in and shading this black and white picture. And I got a duplication of this picture. And this is the grid method. So if you can choose any grid you like and just concentrate on the colours and the shades and just do that grid. And once all the grids were coloured in, you would get this picture. And with that, I felt really encouraged, because what the Lord was saying to me was that you can do your bit, and the bigger picture is God's. And with that, I thought, yes, I definitely can do something. So with all this money, I went back to the donors, who were mainly family and friends, and said, well, what shall we do? And one of them said, well, my brother's just gone back to help. Maybe we could see what help he needs. So I spoke to him on the phone. He gave me a breakdown of what was happening. He had literally given up everything. His wife had a good job. She had given up. And they were in Sierra Leone and living in the house that his mother had left them. And that's all they had. They didn't have jobs or anything. So I asked him what he needed, and he emailed me a list. And I haven't got the list, but maybe we could go on to the next. So basically, what I had to do, he gave me a list, and what I had to do was to try and get all the stuff that he needed together. The things he asked for were things like room dividers, shoes, old clothes, cots. And basically, he was bringing in people from the streets and helping them. So having got all the things he needed, we had about 18 boxes of the size that you saw and some loose items. And we sent these things off, and in their home they lined these things up and asked the people from around to come in and take what they needed. And they came in, and of course they needed ministry as well. So they ministered to the people, and I met this gentleman on the left here, and there's a lovely backstory to that, because at the time I also asked my church to contribute, and the gentleman who sent some clothes that this man eventually chose was a very short chap, and he had three teenage girls, very tall girls, and he said, well, nobody's going to have my suits. And I'd asked that everything should be nicely pressed and clean. So the parents paid the girls to do the ironing, because the whole family hated ironing. So they did send quite a lot of things. And this man did have a suit, and I met him, and he's a Christian. It seems very simple that just by offering things to people, our old cast off, it would sort of stimulate them to seek the Lord. And this is exactly what happened. Can we go on to the next slide, please? Now, this lady was one of the first people who came to receive. And within a year, she became head of benevolence. And she was the one organizing all the gifts to give, and she also became a Christian. On the on your right is Father David Opene. And this is one of the occasions that they were distributing gifts. Possibly at that point it was to the church. So everything went out to the community, and then what was left over went to the church. Next slide, please. This chap here is Abdul, and he was the very first convert. And I love that picture. So, next slide. Now, what I found out on my visits to Sierra Leone is that they're very meticulous. Everything is signed for. I know somebody said to me, oh, maybe they go and sell them. They don't sell them. I think they were taking some things to an old people's home. And everything was signed in, checked, and distributed. I did visit this old people's home. That's the home there on your right. And you will see the old people sitting down. Well, they actually got up and danced. And they said to Father David that they thought that God had forgotten them. And that home was originally for the destitute. After the war, it was for anybody. and there's a lovely backstory to this. If we go back to the previous slide, that building was erected in the, I think it was the early 20th century. And it wasn't really fit for purpose. It looks nice on the outside, but inside it was awful. But some minerals was found underneath the home, and these people were rehoused to a beauty spot. And again, when I went last year, I was able to visit them and go to the beautiful, beautiful building they have. And what's very funny is that now they're in this lovely building, the expatriates are falling over each other, the ones in America and here, to send their old people there. So they've got lots of funding now and lots of help. And in fact, when we were there in November, a message came through, a phone call came, and the message came that one of the businessmen had offered to provide solar panels for the building. So they're fine now, but they were in such a state, they thought that everybody, even God, had forgotten them. So next slide. This is, again, Pastor David. Some of the things we sent out, he took to a place called the City of Rest. And it's a place where young men are sent to from all over the world. Some of them come from here, some of them the States, some of them from different parts of West Africa. And these are men with mental health problems and drug addiction. And it's based on Christ. I haven't got a picture of the chap who started it, but he's, in the last few years, he's passed away. He's a wonderful man, and the BBC did do a program about the work he's doing because it's quite unique. And basically, through the word and through treatment, they bring these young men to recovery. And they're always willing to listen and learn more about the gospel. Right, having said all that, I'm just going to go through, it's a couple of emails that Pastor David sent, so you've got the background. It says, our major needs are in this category because our aim as a church is to help rebuild broken lives and to support them in any way possible. So our needs are as follows: used clothes, shoes, toiletries, tinned foods, used beds, window and door curtains, dividers. All these things are distributed to reach out to the less privileged. We received all the items and we have carried out the outreaches both in December 2010 to the Society for the Welfare of the Aged in Sierra Leone and the Home of the Mentally Disturbed and the Drug Addicts at Fort Street this January. This slide shows expanding the kingdom. This is the inauguration of the church. The work he was doing was becoming recognized, and it got to a point where they invited the community and dignitaries around to the church's inauguration. Next slide, please. Again, this is the inauguration. By that time, they had a youth choir going. And you can see it. I mean, you can't see everybody, but they had to hire quite a large hall because they were so well supported. Next slide, please. Tomorrow, I'm reading part of an email now. Tomorrow, our computer training program begins in the church. It is in 3 months. It is 3 months duration. Most of the church members are students or dropouts who have no help but God. I spend most of my money to encourage them, and that is why I need to teach them some form of trade, like computer empowerment program. Next slide. So basically, people were being brought off the streets, they were being given some sort of trade or being encouraged to go into some form of training. But a lot of the people didn't actually have any inkling of what Christianity was about. So they were also taken through classes and allowed to take steps in their own time towards commitment and eventually baptism. And we didn't have to send the water, that's the Atlantic. next slide, please. Attached to some of the recent pictures of our outreach here in Freetown, the pictures are labelled. I have included the children's end of year party, as you requested. The children's issue is a great concern to me. They are not well fed. I set up a committee of patrons and matrons for the children's department to feed the kids every Sunday. Since the feeding on Sunday started, attendance in the children's department has increased because other children invite their friends. Many kids are in the church just for the food. The committee is trying their best. Next slide, please. This slide shows two communities that were at loggerheads following the war. And what Pastor David did was go out into those communities and arrange football matches and games, so to bring the communities together. And at the end of that, they would give out some of the gifts that we had sent. And that worked really well. The other form of outreach they had, we don't generally send money, but sometimes we send a little bit. And with a little bit of money we sent, they paid a doctor to have everybody in the community checked out, health-wise. Next slide, please. In 2011, I visited the church out there and was taken around the Sunday school. If you look very closely, you will see chairs, tables, fan, TV, whiteboard. They were all donated by, at the time, I think I was living in Somerset at the time, and that was a local school in the village where I lived, and friends and neighbours and church. So basically, whatever we give them, they try and work out how they can best use. And Father David says here, please pray along for me too, as doors of ministrations are opening. Next week, I'll be ministering to youth at a camp organized by Scripture Union Sierra Leone. And they're the young people that he ministered to, and I met some of those people as well. Next slide, please. Right, so again, I'm reading part of his email. We are planning a daycare centre and a nursery school for the church. We bought sand and some bags of cement. Hopefully, we are gradually moulding the blocks before we start. So that's a building project. I will keep you updated with the latest developments. Basically, they use their hands to mould the bricks to build the school. You might catch, right at the end, you might catch a bit of that building, because what they did, they used Father David's house. Father David had 3 school-aged children and an older child. He moved his family out and rented and used his home for this ministry. Basically, this is... Can we go back to the other slide? This is all they had to start the nursery school. The group of people you saw previously were local parents who they were trying to involve with the project. And those parents would never have dreamt of sending their children to a nursery school or even school. So these are the children. That was the very first intake. They will be in their early teens now. And the clothes were sent out for them, and they turned them into PE kits. So, next one. And this is, for those parents, they were so proud of the children. They were performing for them. I think it might have been end of term. And a lot of them had confidence that their parents wouldn't have reckoned that they'd ever have. Next slide, please. One of the first areas of outreach was to provide for the children an annual party. So this is the annual party of 2013. We didn't send the bouncy castle, but by then the church had enough to hire one for themselves. So that was very nice. Now you have to contrast this later on with another picture of another party the following year, when they had Ebola. They wouldn't have been able to bounce about like that. I remember being given loads of green bags. I thought, what are we going to do with these? Send them anyway. And these are older children being presented. I think that was at Christmas time, with their gifts. Again, the gifts would have been things that we had sent out. Right, this part is to do with Ebola. You will probably know about Ebola. On Sunday the 7th of September, again this is a pray scene, an email, 2014, Pastor David Opene announced that the following Sunday the Ebola relief program will take place. Activities for the day began with our Sunday service by 10 a.m. prompt, which is unusual in Africa, but members and non-members were around, especially people within the Bololo community where the church is located. During the service, Pastor Felix Moloku ministered. Pastor David Opene welcomed all present and told the church about the Friends of Mummy, that's us here, based in UK, and their contribution during this Ebola epidemic. He also told the church about Jonathan Fashol-Luke, who organised a musical concert to raise funds coupled with contributions from other Friends of Mummy. My son's a musician, Jonathan, and he gets very involved in all this. And what was nice was that the musicians, mainly young people in Southampton, they really wanted to help. And he has a knack of bringing people together to do things. Sometimes people are kept on the outside and they don't know how to come in. But this really brought them in and they could see the effects of what they were doing. All present in church greatly rejoiced. 205 families received gift items. Some church members also donated clothes and shoes towards the Ebola relief. This year's outreach, we were able to distribute food, laundry and bathing soap, clothes and shoes. On behalf of the entire membership of Mercy House, we salute all Friends of Mummy in the UK. Thank you for putting smiles on the faces of our people in the Bololo community, and for helping us as a church to fulfill our dreams of restoring dignity and rebuilding lives. For the children, it was a very hard time. First of all, they couldn't go to school, and when they went to school, they had to learn to help each other and help with hand washing. There's a big tank there that was sent over. We didn't send this, somebody else sent it, of water. It's a water cylinder, and it's siphoned onto a smaller container where the children wash their hands when necessary. And as you can see, they help each other. It's very hard to imagine what it must have been like for children to go through this situation. Right, this was the party during Ebola. I actually thought that they wouldn't have a party. And what we do, we actually send out funds for the party so that there's no stress on the church. But they had to make sure that the chairs were spaced out and that they couldn't sit around the table as before. They had to have their individual chairs as tables, and they weren't to touch each other. But they still had the party, which was lovely, and they were given gifts as well. Right, we're almost done. We're coming up to more up-to-date now. A million thanks. This is the current nursery as it is now. A million thanks for the school materials donated, computers and all. Thanks to you all for your labour of love. We greatly appreciate Jonathan's support too. Yes, we need computers right now in the school and in the church. We don't have a single working computer, and because of our building project, we could not purchase any. We are grateful for all donations and for your support, even after our founder, Pastor Chukwuma David Opene, has gone home to be with the Lord. Now that this is the current class. We took those pictures in November last year. The section that I've just read out was to do with Hill-Marton School, which is local. They very kindly sent things out for the school, and it would have gone straight to these children. The chairs they're sitting on and the table was sent out to them by a school in Somerset. They are absolutely indestructible, so they'll have them forever. And those were actually in a cupboard waiting to be to go to the tip. This is the older class, and they were having lunch. So the next slide is the nursery. They actually agreed to come out and sing for us. So we'll have you'll hear them singing. This is their school song. Side of the school, so it's very basic.
Yeah.
It's Sorry, that was Jonathan. just one other little thing. Okay, after the avalanche, I sent an email to Pastor David's wife. She was the lady in black at the back. She's also the headmistress of the school. Just to ask how things were, whether they were affected, whether there was going to be any outreach. And this is what she sent back. We thank God for his mercies and protection. We are fine. We are working together with a brother that heads the media team in Mercy House. He works with a television station in Freetown as a journalist. We are putting together some clothes, shoes, etc. to donate to survivors. And this is why I ask for your help. As soon as we gather enough, we will send the outreach team through our brother. A million thank you for the school materials. We are putting up more classrooms in the Mercy Daycare Nursery and Primary in preparation for September resumption. A big, big thank you to all friends of Mummy for keeping in touch and having us in your hearts. Please continue to pray for us. That's the end of the presentation. So I learnt that whatever little you can do, there's absolutely no excuse for not taking part in God's work.
Thank you very much. We're going to, I think, condense things a little bit, otherwise we might still be here at 12:30, although my sermon, I hope, is a little shorter than normal. But first of all, I just wanted to share some of my very favourite words from the Psalms, Psalm 67, because I think that sums up something of what we've seen the results of. It says in Psalm 67, "May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us." So that is a cry out for blessing, but blessing with a reason. "So that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you." That's what we've seen. We've seen people giving and God's people within Sierra Leone being able to share and to rejoice and to praise God's name because of what they had been given.